Before I interview Cynthia, it's worth just saying to Roger about Roger, you have to tell him that the second coming is not about Jose Mourinho returning to Chelsea. He does get confused and excited all at the same time. So, and it is actually, you're talking about your hip operation, it is good to see you moving so much better. I went to see Rog not that long after he'd had it, and we went for a walk around the block. And it was a bit of a shock, actually, in some ways, because I'm used to Rog being, you know, quite nimble and agile and so on. And he wasn't at that time, but he's really recovered well now, which is brilliant. I've asked Cynthia to come up. We're going to start, by reflecting on some missions that we've done. One of the missions I've done in the last year is in Shepshed, where Cynthia is the vicar. So tell us a little bit about where you're from and how you first came to work with TFM.
Okay, well, it's good to be with you today. I first heard about Through Faith Missions through Wart National Forest. And I'd heard people talk about this Wart National Forest, Walk of 1,000 Men. And I got this sort of vision of all these fellas walking through the forest, and I hadn't got a clue what it was all about, but people were getting excited about it. And then I got a contact from Kevin, who came to see me, and I said, well, you know, what did it cost? What do we have to do? And he explained it to me, and I said, well, I can't really say no to that, can I? So we got involved, and John came along with the team, and we did it with churches together. Hadn't really got a clue what we were doing, it worked, and that was where the involvement came. We actually are in the Midlands, right, Junction 23 on the M1. I've got one church that's just in the National Forest and one church that's just outside the National Forest. And the main one, the one that we particularly worked with, 17,000 population, semi-rural. Used to be a sock manufacturing area, but now people commute because it's equidistant from Leicester, Derby, Nottingham, and there's hospitals and universities, so people do all sorts of things from there.
Lovely, thank you. Yes, it was interesting. Whenever I say to people, Shepshed, they usually go, where? but then they did that with the National Forest, didn't they? Lots of people said, oh, you've been down in the New Forest. No, not the New Forest, National Forest. So anyway, a couple of years ago, I approached you about doing another mission, possibly with a theological college team. Why did you say yes, or what sort of provoked that in your
because
church?
Because I can't say no to mission, and I can't say no to John Hibbert.
Very good. But I think your PCC were quite keen, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of approached them and they all said yes. And again, I think they sort of didn't really know quite what they were letting themselves in for, but they realised it was something exciting and they were up for it. And more up for it than I actually first imagined. Because people say they'll do things and then when the time comes, they've got other things on. But they got together and the mission was planned for Holy Week. So I said, well, we always do things in Holy Week, but let's plan to do them better because we've got the team coming in, so we've got extra support, extra help. So we'll base it on the things we've always done, but do them better. And when I say we've done things, we used to have a communion service every night, and then, of course, the foot washing, and we had a procession on Good Friday, and we had services. We had lighting of the Paschal candle on a Saturday. But the way it worked was, I went through the week and thought, oh, it's Maundy Thursday, I've got to get a bowl and a cloth, you know, and we're going to do the foot washing. There was kind of no real planning to it. Mm-hmm. But by doing the mission, made us plan, made us focus, and I think that was really good for us to do. But it was the PCC getting together and just saying, I'll do that, well, let's do this. You know, the energy was there to start with.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I was very struck that when we prepared the first mission, there was you, there was a coordinator, one or two others. This time when I came over, each time I came, there was a bigger planning group.
Yeah.
And there were loads of people involved from right across the church, based on the PCC, but with other people, weren't there? And that was really good.
I think actually you didn't actually have a lot to say, did you, at the meeting?
No, I mean, that was the other thing that struck me. I had to do much less this time. Yeah. That's one of the things from my perspective. I just let them get on with it, partly because it was Holy Week, I'm sure. But you'd also been thinking about some other mission concerns, hadn't you? You'd been exploring. What, can you say a little bit about where you were going as a church, some of the issues you were facing?
We're really, because we're a growing church, and we've got to this glass ceiling where we've got to the point where we're kind of changing the format, where, you know, the vicar is at the top and kind of makes most of the decisions. Now we're getting to the point where we have to think about restructuring ourselves in different ways, and I've got to take a different role, really. So we've been looking at something called Partnership in Missional Church, which it's only been done in Bath and Wells yet, and we're sort of one of the eight, I think, that are pioneering it in Sutherland, Leicester. And it's about it's a partnership between God and us, and us and the people that God's sending to us. So it's trying to get a better structure, trying to get a better God focus into what we're doing, using a Bible study called Dwelling in the Word. So it's to try and get the church into better habits. So it is not just one mission and another mission, but that we're going to be missional.
That's good. Okay, one final question. Any highlights or things you've learned really from the mission this time?
I think next time we'll pray harder for the weather.
Yeah.
John said it was the coldest mission he's ever done. Palm Sunday, we got a donkey all planned called Sparky. And as Sparky came out, the snow came. I rushed into my office. Oh, I didn't realize.
So we've had the rolling PowerPoint behind, so they've seen it a couple of times. So that's the sort of weather we had. Yeah.
Palm
that was
Sunday.
Where I stayed.
Palm Sunday morning came, and I rushed into my office and picked up the family service for Palm Sunday the year before, because I was convinced we wouldn't be doing it. But the donkey came out, and the people came out as well. I presume not as many as would have done if it had been fine, but they were all there. And we sort of said, well, come in for coffee, come and get warm. And they all came in, and there was a brilliant atmosphere in the church that day, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And we did all sorts of things. John encouraged us to have a name, which I wouldn't have thought of. So we put a competition out, and we came up with The Real Thing. Then we put a competition around the schools to get an Easter card. And that was the one that won. It went to the printers, and the printer came back and said, we've tidied it up. And we said we didn't want it tidied up. We like the rough edges around it. That's part of, you know. And we had the Archdeacon on the Monday night. He'd actually memorised Mark's Gospel. And it was absolutely...
And you actually had somebody join the church through that, didn't you?
Yeah, well, he came again once.
Oh, he's only been once.
I have to say, he only came once, but who knows?
Right.
But then we just did different things every night of the week. But the interesting thing is John and I went to do a radio broadcast on Good Friday, and they said, can you tell us some of the things you did in the week? And I said, I can't remember what we did on Monday. Can you remember, John? And John said, no, I can't remember. And we remember Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we came back and somebody said, I can't believe you forgot the Archdeacon.
Thank you very much. That was great. Thank you. And the good news is Cynthia still has got her job. So we may get the chance to work with her again. Mike, if we can have the one, PowerPoint 1, which is last year's missions. I'll just go through those briefly. Yep, excellent. And you can go straight onto the second slide. I'll talk a bit about the Dales Folk Festival. Just a few images from that, really. It was the Dales Faith Festival, but it began with a folk festival weekend, which is something that happens in Ingleton once a year. And so we got Vinnie Jones, who's one of our team members who sings and plays in clubs in Jersey. He came over and did a gig for one night. He also did something in coffee shops, and he did a seminar for songwriters and things like that. And basically the church is really integrated into the folk festival. They provide a lot of the venues, get a lot of extra people in, And they also do this open-air service on the Sunday morning, which you preach from a trailer out in the beautiful weather. They prayed for the weather. Unfortunately, they didn't pray about the temperature. It was the coldest mission I'd done before I went to Shepshed. It was quite chilly at times. But really good start to the mission, very high profile out in the community and so on. I put a photo in of the men's curry night at the pub. Really good night, about 40, 50 guys there. And one of the things that had been done with, or consciously planned by the churches, was they said, we want to get into our pubs and our working men's club and our ex-servicemen's club and so on. So they put events in each place because they were looking at building longer-term partnerships with venues so that they actually become, and they found these people were open to doing stuff with the community of faith, which is great. And one of the guys there is a guy, Tom Brown, who's been around since the walk in 1991, which went through Ingleton, and made a big difference to the church there. And when I went to preach there in the preparation, and I said, questions, there was somebody who came up, I think she came up to do the prayers, and she testified. She got converted on that walk, and she wanted this mission to happen whether anybody else did or not, kind of thing. So it was kind of, you had great support. Actually, Tom Brown's mum did a home meeting. Well, it wasn't a home meeting because it was in the church. Did a coffee afternoon. And what we did with that was, I thought, rather than me speaking at it, she's a wonderful woman of her faith in her 90s. And I basically interviewed her and got her to talk about why she was doing this, what Jesus meant to her. And it was so sort of, in a way, understated, because it's a disarming 90-year-old person sitting in a chair just telling you stories. And yet there was a lady who'd come, who'd only come to the event because she'd been at a funeral in that church that day, and it really made an impact on her, and she's been back since. So it's just interesting sometimes how in a mission situation you can adapt things. And the last picture I put in is a mission event never done anywhere else, gathering the sheep off the mountains. They went up onto Ingleborough, up onto the big hill that overlooks Ingleton, with some of the local farmers. One or two of them, church folk. There's a guy there who's a Methodist steward, but a lot of them not. And they gathered the sheep in, and then three of them had lunch. I'd have loved to have done it, but I got too many volunteers. So I let some of the other go. Barry, did you go on that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? No, okay. No, your leg wouldn't allow it, no. But great event, and enjoyed Ingleton. Good mission. We have the next slide, please. Flame of Hope. That just gives you a picture of the area we covered. You remember last year, maybe, that we did the villages. This is Chippenham Deanery, a deanery-wide mission. This year we concentrated on the two towns, Chippenham and Corsham. So if we can have the next slide up, it will give you a few pictures of it. It was a mission that ran up to Pentecost. So it went from Ascension Day, so a Thursday, through to a Sunday. Very odd timing for a mission for us. But Pentecost was the climax of it. And we also had a number of schools events that were focused around that, that we could draw people into. Food has ever played a big part. No surprises there for anybody who's ever been on mission. You've got a picture of the big cafe. And also barbecues. We had quite a few barbecue events, free barbecues. The one which has got Emma Wittick with a hat on doing balloon modelling, that was a disaster day, really, when it absolutely threw it down. So they had to have the barbecue inside the church. But it worked really well because most people didn't really want to be outdoors. So there are about 100 people, mostly youngsters, who came into the church that day on their way back from school. Great opportunity. Church people absolutely thrilled. I put two pictures then together. The banner over the high street was, hang on. Oh, it's not in there. No, it's coming on the next slide. Sorry, I've slipped down here. There's a ladies' event there, which had quite a lot of people at it. I was going to call it a large ladies' event, then I realised that would be that'd be a bad thing to say. What I meant was there were over 80 people at it. Now, on this one, there's a couple of apologetics events. One in Corsham was in a coffee bar. Really great venue, really lovely venue at the centre of the village. David and Maureen will remember that. And then I went to a pub in Marshfield, somewhere where we'd been the year before, and they decided to have one. Really good setting again, because you had a pub with a bit of the bar at the front that was sort of separated off, except it was also kind of a bit open. so people could see what was going on, even if they weren't part of your group. Made it very sort of easy to join in if people wanted. Certainly Peter and I have done quite a lot on apologetics this year. We spoke at FPE, and I've got some more things in the pipeline. The next slide does have the thing I referred to on it. A few things just to pick up on here. We got the bishops involved. There's a nice link, actually, to the mission you did. Well, it might be a nice link, you never know, to the mission you did with St. Luke's. Bishop Mike came and spoke about a men's breakfast, and his title was From Bouncer to Bishop. So you never know with these two guys who got converted in Southend. That's Mike's background, and Mike still looks like a bouncer, even though he is actually the Bishop of Bristol. And he spoke in a very down-to-earth, very good, I thought it was just excellent. We also had him at the launch in Corsham. You can see there they had a good sort of public setting right next to the shops and everything. And the High Street thing that I was going to mention, there's two pictures there together. They got a banner right across the High Street from the town hall to another building. I don't know how they got permission for it, but a great setting. Rather than being sort of stuck away in a corner, they wanted people to know this was happening. But also, one of the things that they tried to do with the mission was, obviously, we did all the normal reaching out to people, events where you can speak, lots of one-to-one, door-to-door, all the normal things. But they also said, but we want, this is called Flame of Hope. And one of the things about Bristol Diocese is, one of their sort of strap lines is about building communities of hope. And they're trying to engage with communities on sort of social projects as well as the church, making it quite clear that we're a faith group, but we're engaging at the social level as well. And so the event that we had in the town hall was bringing together active people in the faith community with counsellors, head of council, heads of schools, all sorts of people, and saying, how can our Christian faith make a difference to issues in our society? And one of the things that came up in the discussions, Bishop Mike spoke at it, I spoke at the end, but a number of other people contributed. One of the things that came up was about poverty. You think of Chippenham, you think, well, especially those of you who've been there on the mission team, quite a nice place, really. But actually, when you look at the poverty indices for some parts of it, they're quite alarming. You look at the need that there is for the food bank. You look at the homeless project that's happening. And suddenly you're aware of all sorts of real issues that are going on in society. And one of the things that the person on the council said was, she said that actually you as faith groups often reach the people right at the bottom far better than we do as social providers. Now that was really striking. So they said, we really value what you've got. And there's a good piece of ongoing partnership for both of them. Both councils said, well, we want to take this further. This has been a good starter discussion. But we want to say to the churches, what do you want to do further? We make a space for you at this table. And you think, isn't that exciting? The church has got an open door to make a difference in community. And when we do that, it gives real credibility to our message. Because they say, you're not just talkers, you're doers. And the two together are often what impress people outside. There's an event there with a Christian MP. That was at Corsham Church. He came and spoke. Interesting challenge. And Bishop Lee did something, it was Christian Aid Week, so we did some stuff on aid, a couple of us got involved in that as well. So that's just a couple of missions looking back. If we look at missions going forward, I'm going to have to speed up here. Another PowerPoint coming up. I'll start on the first one anyway. I've got an invitation to do a university mission from the Christian Union at Essex University, near Colchester. That's quite a good breakthrough, isn't it, really? We've been saying we want to reach younger people and students. It was a bit odd getting the invite because it's sort of come by a slightly roundabout route to do with the Colne Valley mission. And I got this sort of thing through and I thought, well, really they should be inviting me to go and talk to them about being their speaker. It doesn't say that. It says, we would like you to be our main speaker for these 4 days. You think, well, I don't know if you know what I can offer. But I had a discussion with the chaplain, and she said, well, look, the girl who sent you the invite's going on holiday in 2 days' time. So she said, I'd accept it if I were you and go and talk to her in the autumn. So that's what I've done. So we'll see what happens with that. I've sort of given a list of them. I'm going to speak about the Welsh one and Southend. Congleton, I've been there recently. You'll see that's a bit further away, and they're really planning in depth for that, which is great. It's lovely to see a mission being planned from a bit further out, and I think that'll be a good town mission. But if we go on to the next one, this is Wales, around Aberystwyth, and you've already noted we're doing one or two deanery missions. I think the deanery is a great unit for mission. Some ways I think it's better than doing a walk, because a walk, sometimes it's hard to get the whole sort of feel from one end to the other. They're great in another way because they're a big impact event. But at a deanery, everybody knows each other. And it does, I mean, you get dysfunctional deaneries. If you're an Anglican, you probably know what I mean, where half the vicars don't talk to each other. But if you get a deanery where they get on, it's tremendous. This is around Aberystwyth. It's following up from Walks and David, or Taith Dewi Sant. We've got two key people on the ground, Stuart Bell, who is at the moment rector of Aberystwyth. He's about to retire, actually, in September, but he's going to remain the acting area dean. He's moving up the coast to Borth. And we have Emma Whittick, who you saw earlier, who's the deanery evangelist. And they're two really great resources on the ground to get this going, not least because they both speak Welsh. The town is very strong. St. Michael's is a big church, 500 or 600 people, and the other churches in the team are lively and active, so it's very exciting. The villages struggle a lot more. There's obviously a great need for Welsh language in most of the villages, so we're recruiting locally some Welsh-speaking evangelists. I met a guy called Cunnan, who's very keen to be involved, a guy who's just about to go and be a postgrad in Cardiff, but he's coming back for the week. He'll be a great resource. The bottom right-hand corner, there's a picture which you may just be able to see in the background of church. This is probably one of the most inaccessible churches I have ever visited. This is in Borth. And basically, you go down a tiny little road. You then get to a place where you have to ring up to find out if there's a train coming. You're then allowed to open the gates or not, as the case may be. We had to wait both ways. And then you go down this little track, and the church is in the distance. Now, if that doesn't put you off coming to church, I don't know what does. Astonishing place. But that's where we met the vicar of Borth. If we go on to the next slide. Southend, where I went the week after I'd been to Aberystwyth, chalk and cheese. It's a deanery mission, but utterly the opposite end of the scale. Really built up. The mission really has come from the advocacy of St. Luke's Prittlewell. Father James couldn't be more keen to promote the work of TFM. A huge population. There are several growing churches in the deanery. Slightly alarming when I talk to their clergy is a number of them haven't got a clue why they're growing, which is quite interesting. You know, they're quite honest about that. They say, yeah, we've doubled in numbers. Why? Well, I don't know. although a lot of it is really simple things. Actually, one of the guys, to be fair to him, he said, I just do the old-fashioned parish priest thing. He said, I do baptisms, I do weddings, I try and get into the schools, I visit people. And his church had grown. So it's just about getting out there. Two or three of them have said, we've just simply made ourselves more accessible. We've publicised, we've said we're still here, we're actually open. You know, quite simple things. One or two slightly different. There was one really interesting church, St. Andrew's, where they have about 250 non-Christians attend a week. Not on a Sunday. Some of them do on a Sunday. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. In the afternoons, evenings, they have a cafe at the back of church, and it has a different focus for each day. The Sunday, interestingly, is the homeless. The homeless come and they get a meal. They maybe there's a place where they can kip overnight. But he said actually they're probably the most open group of all the ones who come. But each of those events has a spiritual focus as well as meeting a social need. Really interesting church. Just starting getting going with that. I did the visiting recently. That'll be for September next year. So next year we got two deanery missions in September. Nightmare from a team member point of view, but there we go. Right, I'm going to end briefly with Walk Cornwall 2, which is the third PowerPoint. Poor old Mike. So can the computer keep up? Brilliant. What I thought I would do is actually just put up the maps for each week and then a general slide at the end. The red dots are the ones where there's definitely things happening, and the yellow ones are things where we think things are happening, but they're a bit vague. So Dave Cook knows about some of these dots. But you can see there's a good spread of churches there, and we reckon 16 or 17 teams needed in week one. That's the west of Cornwall. Go on slide two, you'll see the middle week of Cornwall. This is a very strong week. There's a lot of towns here with quite a lot going on in them. And that's that week. There's one place up there which is still being explored but may well come on for a half week. And then week three, again, this is the most spread out bit of Cornwall. It's north to south. It's a big stretch. Well, it isn't. It's only about 40 miles, but Cornwall's generally quite thin, isn't it? And so fewer teams in this week, but some quite big towns, and nearly all of those are firm invites. And I've got one more slide just at the end. The headlines, really, for Walk Cornwall 2. The legacy of 1993. Wherever I go, people say, oh, yeah, it was great. We'd love you to come back, which is really encouraging. Even though it's a long time, strong support from the top, the bishop and Steve, the Methodist district chairman, very much on board, very keen, good task force, and so on. The other side of the 1993 support is basically you've got congregations who've been there for 20 years and they've just got 20 years older. Nearly all the young people have to move away to get work. That's the sad thing about the Celtic fringe and Cornwall in particular. There's not so much work down there. And then, as we've been saying on our newsletter, it's an urgent plea for team members. I'm not quite sure the numbers. David may have them. We've had a problem with the database, which has been part of the issue, that we've not been able to tell exactly how many people we've got. But I think we may have processed most of them by now, hopefully. Looking at David and Grace, they may know that. But we need people. If you're signed up for a week and you can do two, come for two. That'd be brilliant. If you're not signed up and you're thinking about it, do come. There's great opportunity. There's some superb programs, but we need to make sure we've got the people to actually handle them. It could be a really good mission, I'm sure. So that's just to give you a bit of an update on where we're at on missions.